much you want to bet?
I don't bet.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
It's the post-holiday blues slash bittersweet edition of the Bet the Board podcast as we wrap up the NFL regular season with full breakdowns of Week 17. And before we get to our co-host, Payne Insider, down there in South Beach, just a couple of housekeeping announcements here as we look towards the postseason. Recording schedule, guys, will be on Fridays. Moving forward, we'll try and break down every playoff game, obviously answer your questions as well. And if you guys express an interest, maybe even delve into the Daily Fantasy, as I'm sure a lot of you will be competing in some playoff editions and through FanDuel and DraftKings and everything else out there to try and get your football fixed before it's officially gone in a month. Payne, how was your Christmas down there? Did Santa bring you something nice, or did you get coal in your stocking this year, my friend?
I got a bunch of gifts. The sister came through in the clutch with a massage thing for my desk chair, so looking forward to that. Other than that, I'm absolutely happy that the football season is winding down. I know everybody hates that football season's winding down, but if you do this legitimately and the 16-hour days come to a close, it's definitely a good thing for us.
Yeah, I don't think anyone realizes exactly what kind of toiling goes into having a successful football season, whether it be NFL or college. Burnout typically sets in, what would you say, Payne, about week 9 or 10 of the NFL season, and you just go, you know what, I'm actually glad to start looking towards the NBA, college basketball, and even getting some baseball prep under the belt.
Yeah, there was no doubt about that, and I know you got an email around week 10 or 11. They're like, what's going on with Payne? He sounds like he's dead. And that was absolutely the case. That was absolutely the case. I was just so fatigued. Finally caught my second wind, and hopefully we can close out with some winners in week 17 and move forward to the playoffs.
Actually, that was the only time I shared that email with you. I typically get those once a week asking what's going on down there. But rather than divulge the lifestyle secrets of a single man down there in Miami, I figure we'll keep that under wraps and just start talking a little NFL. For those folks new to the podcast, the man on the other end of the line, he can be followed on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can visit his website at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. Follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman or visit my website at toddstake.com. And Payne, we did have a couple good questions. Of course, we'll get there in a bit with the Ask the Bet the Board. But let's start with some of the games that have major playoff implications. I may as well go in rotation order. So Detroit and Green Bay, the Packers, a 7.5-point favorite in this one. Total of 47. Interesting, you look out there in the market, some soft 7.5, even an 8 floating around at a pretty prominent offshore book. How do you go about handicapping the Packers and Lions knowing what's at stake at Lambeau this Sunday?
You know, for me, and it'll probably be a little square, we talked about it a little on the previous podcast this week. I'm looking towards Green Bay here. Obviously, I'd like to lay 7 if I could, include Green Bay in some teasers. I'm just not sold on this Detroit offense. I'm not sold on Matthew Stafford. A lot of people know that if they've listened to this podcast frequently enough. And for me, Green Bay gets back home where their offense thrives. Tough road games. I think the byproduct of the Bills game was just a lot of drops. Drives could have definitely, you know, continued. We had a huge drop from Jordy Nelson in that Bills game. I don't think the offense has played as poorly. And then you talk about a Tampa team. Lovie Smith, you know, he's been there before. He knows what these guys are going to run. But Green Bay did enough to get it done. The defense kind of got back to their ways. I know they stumbled against Atlanta at home, but the defense got back to their improved ways the previous 2 weeks. So I just don't know if Detroit can keep up with Green Bay. I know the under is the right side here as well. That's a true position from professionals going under. So for me, it's going to be Green Bay if I can get a 7. If I can't, the Packers will be included in some teasers this week for me.
I think you make a ton of sense talking about Green Bay here, knowing that the price is 7.5, in my opinion, for a reason. Some of the interesting trends. The Lions 0-23 straight up their last 23 trips to Lambeau. They've gone 5-16-2 against the spread in those 23 trips. And Payne, you talk about how we've been down on Matthew Stafford. I guess it's a good thing that his wife Kelly Hall doesn't listen to the podcast. Otherwise, our inboxes would be filling up with nasty hate mail, given how much we've maligned this Detroit offense, which typically goes out there and puts up 17 points at best, which, of course, we don't think will cut it against the Packers this weekend.
Is he? He's also on that crazy streak of never having won on the road against an opponent over 500, I believe. So, Matthew Stafford, not your guy on the road against good teams.
Definitely interesting to see him slide by the ire of the media, given his lucrative contract, whereas Jay Cutler has become public enemy number one. But I'll make the case that Jay Cutler wearing a Detroit Lions jersey might be able to put up similar stats as what we've seen from Matt Stafford. So from a game with major playoff implications to one that probably has very little unless things break the right way, you're looking at the Houston Texans, a 9.5-point favorite, total of 40 as they play host to Jacksonville. Case Keenum pretty good in his debut last week against the Ravens. Can he keep that success going here? Much different role laying over a touchdown versus being nearly a touchdown home underdog as like he was last weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, we talked a little bit about this on Monday, is finding some teams and letting that number continue to climb. And then you get some overvalued stuff in the marketplace here, and I think this will be one of those games. Houston's defense obviously lights out. This will be the quote-unquote must-win game. But with Case Keenum, a Jacksonville team that had a nice victory on Thursday night, extended rest, division game here, and you're creeping into that overvalued, you know, double-digit mark. I think Jacksonville presents some good value here, and you just kind of let it continue to climb. Some tens out there. If you're in one of your pools with the points, obviously, you know, you got to look Jacksonville. So I'll wait as long as possible, and then potentially move on Jacksonville.
Yeah, an interesting trend that probably doesn't mean a whole lot. The Texans were double-digit favorites twice in 2013. Yeah, they lost both of those games outright. So they have a history of laying an egg when odds makers expect them to put forth their best performance. But Jacksonville definitely looks to be the side there or pass. Now, Cincinnati-Pittsburgh, this game was flexed to the Sunday primetime slot. Of course, division bragging rights on the line. Neither team will be eligible for the bye unless Denver ends up going down to Oakland, but they're heavy favorites there. You're looking at Pittsburgh, a 3.5-point favorite here. Total in this game, 47.5, 48, depending on where you look. Of course, Cincy, 3-touchdown revenge for a game they were blown out in their own building a few weeks ago against the Steelers after that explosive fourth quarter that the black and gold put together.
Yeah, for me, you know, slight lean towards Pittsburgh. We saw some sharp money earlier in the week. Lay the 3 here, got out to 3.5. Some conflicting reports. I know you talked about it a little bit. Looks like potentially some resistance there at the 3.5 from another set of guys. For me, we talked about this last week. Cincinnati isn't very good. They were in a great, great spot on Monday night. Sharp guys were on Cincinnati, as we alluded to. I just couldn't get behind them. And when you really break down that game of Monday Night Football, again, the offense was pretty inept. Obviously, a great run by Hill early in that game. But talking about them moving the ball from 20 to 20 and sustaining drives, just 10 points. Special teams set them up twice, pick six. Cincinnati just isn't very good. A.J. Green is going to play in this game, but he's less than 100%. Pittsburgh's defense starting to get a little healthier also. So for me, I know there is that revenge factor there, but I think if I had to bet this game, it would be on Pittsburgh. But for right now, it's a game that I'm completely on the sidelines with.
Yeah, I'd be inclined to say that Pittsburgh, the play there, obviously would have been much happier to lay 3. You talk about the injuries to A.J. Green, the fact that the Bengals were beneficiaries, more so of Denver incompetence than anything they did, and you just watch them celebrate. I'm not sure in a short week against a divisional foe they're going to be able to regroup and gather themselves after treating the win against Denver like they'd clinched the number one overall seed in the AFC. So I'll also make a slight case for the under here. I think you're going to see playoff-type intensity in Pittsburgh's defense, as you alluded to, much better, especially against teams that lack a vertical passing threat, which Cincinnati may, given A.J. Green's status. Indy, they were pretty disappointing last week, absolutely blown out against Dallas. Of course, you can make the case the game didn't mean a whole lot after they clinched the AFC South. Now 7-point road favorites as they go to Tennessee. This is a Titans team just playing out the stretch, still very much in the running for the number one overall pick. And you look at what Tennessee has done. They've simply been burning money every which way. 1-11-1 against the spread their last 13 games at home, 2-11 straight up. Can you make a case to back the Colts on the highway in this one, Payne?
you know, for me, it's another game that I'm really – it's probably the worst game of the weekend. I have no feel on this game whatsoever. Tennessee did catch some money late on that Thursday nighter when it got to 4.5 right before kick. Some sharp money grabbed Tennessee. Good first half. Couldn't put a full 60 together. And we've talked about them basically quitting on Wisenhunt. I can't really see them showing up here. Indianapolis, again, clinched their division, traveling to a non-conference foe last week. We saw what that resulted in. So for me, it's just a complete pass here. I really have no feel on this game at all. And we talk about it a lot. This is kind of, if you're a sports bettor, this is your advantage over the sports books, being able to pass on a game when you have no edge.
And since you're going to pass on this game, I'm going to throw you a curveball, Payne. When we talk about the Tennessee Titans entering the 2015 football season, we assume that Zach Mettenberger will still be on the roster, but will it be Marcus Mariota or Jameis Winston competing with him for that starting nod?
If Winston comes out, I think this is kind of everyone's hyped on Mariota now, but as soon as the combine comes out, as soon as the measurables come out, I think Winston's obviously the more pro quarterback, pro-style quarterback. If I'm drafting, obviously I'm taking Winston over Mariota. The Pac-12, the way they play offense, the system, the windows are just so wide open for Mariota to throw. It's just a different ball game in the NFL, and I think Winston translates to the better pro prospect.
I have to imagine the Tallahassee Police Department will be thrilled if Jameis Winston decides to declare for the NFL draft as well. The guy I didn't throw into the mix, who we think will climb draft boards despite being gutless at points, I guess, for lack of a better term, Sean Mannion. But if Tennessee ends up to go that route with a pro-style quarterback, heaven help them, because the franchise will be set back another 5 years. Oh, funny that we talk about rookie quarterbacks, because Payne, guess what we have here? One making his season debut in Baltimore. It's the Cleveland Browns, headed on the road as a 13-point underdog, total of 39, led by Connor Shaw. Yes, he of South Carolina fame, and anyone who bets the preseason, Connor Shaw, he of the Hail Mary that got you the cover against the Washington Redskins, or had a chance to late in the game, early in the season. But what do you make of this game, knowing what's at stake for Baltimore? Of course, they need a little bit of help. Have to imagine they bounce back after a pretty lethargic effort last week against the Houston Texans.
The last time I saw Connor Shaw play, he was burning me in a bowl game despite Wisconsin gaining 300 yards on the ground. So not a big Connor Shaw fan, but I think he's semi-capable. This line, again, is one of those games where you're talking about a number that's reaching ridiculous status. It really is at 13. So for me, I could only look one way here. Baltimore is in that must-win, and because of that label, you know, they're overvalued in the marketplace. So for me, again, it would be Cleveland or pass, but right now have not bet this game at all. We've seen the total move from 42 to 39. Feels potentially like another overreaction to me. So the only thing here is weather will be in play. It looks like some rain coming in to Baltimore, so something to monitor come Sunday.
And we've talked about the Ravens' struggles. 2-9 against the spread their past 11 games as double-digit favorites going back to 2010. Of course, the stakes are increased. Had no idea that Brian Hoyer and Johnny Manziel's drop-off with 4 points, given how poorly both of them have performed over the last couple weeks. So it'll be interesting to see if Cleveland's defense can keep this game competitive. And one of the bigger movers that we saw of the entire Week 17 schedule, Buffalo and New England. This game opened New England a 10.5-point favorite. Of course, that was when people thought New England would have to win, assuming that Denver could go on the road in Cincinnati and come away victorious. They now no longer need this football game to cement the number one overall seed, and the market has reacted accordingly. You see, the Patriots is a 5-point favorite. Total has held steady at 44. How do we go about beginning to handicap this particular contest between two teams that know each other so well?
It's tough. If you were able to grab that 10.5 before Monday Night Football kicked off and it went off the board, great grab on Buffalo plus 10.5. Right now, I don't think New England, obviously they've talked about it, they're not sitting anybody from the start of this game. With the bye week obviously in play, you don't want to, you know, rest your guys 2 weeks and get them completely out of rhythm. My feeling, though, is they're not going to play the entire game. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that's just my feeling, is the starters aren't going to play the entire game. So for me, this is a game that I've circled, that I'm going to watch, that I'm going to potentially be live wagering on. It'll be on one of my big screen TVs, so I'll be live wagering this game. and trying to get a feel for what I just alluded to with potentially guys not playing the full game. Buffalo will obviously want to end the season, but again, drastic travel. Huge win against Green Bay. Travel across the country to the Raiders. We expected a big game out of the Raiders. They delivered that. Buffalo's playoff hopes are dashed. Now you're going to New England. New England, really nothing to play for. So for me, again, a game that I'll be looking to live wager, but nothing on a pregame position.
Wait, hold on just one second. Isn't every NFL game entitled to a big screen at the Casa de Paine on an NFL Sunday?
Absolutely not. Absolutely.
All right, I just had a check there. Some interesting food for thought on this game. The Patriots, they've been in this role before, not having much to play for. They've actually been outstanding in Week 17, 16-4 against the number the last 20 years in their season-ending game. So as we know, Bill Belichick not one to take his foot off the gas, especially against an opponent. I'm going to actually make a case for laying the points here with New England, especially in the first half, as I think he'll get at least 30 minutes out of the starters and have full intentions of taking advantage of a deflated price tag. From deflated price tag to, I guess, an interesting number, Miami, a six-point favorite right there in your backyard playing host to the Jets. Total in this game, 42. Amazing what a few weeks has done. Miami actually was a seven-point road favorite for the Monday night game against the Jets, but the Dolphins have kind of fallen on tough times despite getting the win last week in improbable fashion. The Jets have looked a little bit better, but I'll make the case, what do the Jets really have left in the tank after leaving it all out there on the field against New England last Sunday?
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've seen initially a move towards the Jets. That was a little fake. Professional money has come in on Miami, and all the talk is delivering that first winning season in franchise history since 2008. So the guys in the locker room apparently did not quit on Joe Philbin, as we saw last week. Got down early, could have quit, and most likely that would have changed the franchise dynamics with having to go after potentially a new GM, but definitely a new head coach. A win solves all problems, and now again, that's their goal, have that first winning season since 2008. The Jets are awfully banged up. For me, though, at this price, I just know Rex Ryan. I don't think those guys are going to quit on him. That's one thing. He's not very good with X's and O's, but he gets his guys to show up and play, and what is most likely Rex Ryan's last game against a Miami team that he does pretty well against, and he loves spoiling their season just like he did a year ago. I think they do give them an effort. Six for me. Probably not looking to lay it with Miami, but that was the side professionals came in on just a few days ago.
Yeah, it will be a swan song for Rex. Can't imagine that Woody will bring him back, even if they are able to go down there in South Florida to pull out a win. So two teams with very different expectations going into 2015. And then we focus our attention on the much-maligned NFC South, where two teams have a chance to go to the playoffs, which looked somewhat improbable for the majority of the season. And we've seen some money come in both ways. Atlanta opened a three-point favorite. Number was bet as high as four. Earlier today, as we record this on Friday, you saw massive amounts of sharp money coming on the Panthers with limits extended, pushing that price all the way back to three. The total has held pretty much steady at 47.5. Carolina and Atlanta, Payne, are you going to make a case to back the Dirty Birds here, or think Cam Newton gets the Panthers back to the postseason for the second straight year?
You know what's pretty surprising to me is we were on the under last week in that game, and I figured mostly because we would see pocket Cam, but he looked healthy despite the back fractures. He was running around a little bit, scored a rushing touchdown, got outside the pocket. So to me, it doesn't look like the back is an issue. Because of that, I think they are the side. The defense the last few weeks, getting back to what they were last year, granted not the best offenses, but you go on the road, hold New Orleans to 10, 17 to Tampa, 13 to the Browns, and the defense really is what's carried them over this little mini streak. And I think Cam and the offense can make enough plays. I really do. So at 3.5, 4, I think Carolina is the side here.
Yeah, I do think that we've seen from Carolina, you talked about Cam Newton, his desire to take off in the pocket, playing with that renewed sense of confidence. You still have some major reservations about the passing game, but Kelvin Benjamin should have a field day. The injury to Steven Jackson, I don't think, changes anything fundamentally with what Atlanta is looking to do. But the Falcons had to put so much into last week's game against the Saints. As ridiculous as it sounds, I really believe Atlanta has a bit of a letdown here. And I think Carolina is your NFC South champions when the dust settles. So I'll gladly take the points. Obviously, want to take the 3.5 if I can get it.
Addition by subtraction with that running back move. Get some of the young guys acclimated to that Falcons offense, more home run threat, so to speak, and I think it might actually boost Atlanta's offense a little bit, but still like Carolina here in this spot.
Spoken like a true Florida State homer who wants to see his boy get some more touches at the NFL level. Chicago, Minnesota, yes, we get to see Jay Cutler one more time this glorious football season. The Bears, a 6-point underdog. Total on this game, 44. Minnesota has been a pretty good bet-on team of late, showing a ton of fight. Just can't find ways to necessarily get to the winner's circle from a straight-up perspective, but have definitely been able to cover some of these numbers. Do we see a rejuvenated Bears side, or specifically Jay Cutler, actually look like a competent NFL quarterback getting a second life given Jimmy Clausen's concussion?
It's a very interesting dynamic, because the sharp guys who bet Minnesota over 6 season wins will be rooting like heck for a victory here, hoping to essentially middle this game, because as we talked about in the Monday podcast, early money on the Bears, that is a true position at +7. You're now down to 6. We talked about this. I think Jay Cutler, just reading some of those comments throughout the last week, how he hadn't given up on his team, how this was kind of an ego deflator to him, and he's going to work harder. I think this is a game that he shows well in, I really do. So we told you on Monday to take the Bears +7. You're now looking at 6. Gun to head, probably still like it at 6, but 7 was the number that we grabbed. And, you know, the way these Minnesota games are starting to trend, you get a young quarterback in Bridgewater, you want to see what he's made out of, and you take some shots, and I think this game will be a little higher scoring. So, again, we said go Chicago, go over 43, 43.5 early in the week. I still think those are the right sides in this game.
No argument making a case to go over. I do agree, though. I think you look at the Bears, but knowing the 7's not out there, tougher to take 6 in this particular instance. And I guess a game, Payne, that a lot of people in this podcast are going to be real interested to hear your take. San Diego and Kansas City. This game, probably one of the more fascinating games, not only of Week 17, but of the entire NFL regular season, given what we saw unfold earlier today. KC opened as about a soft 3 or 2.5 point favorite. You saw money come in on KC throughout the week, pushing the number to 3 to 3.5, and then an absolute burial earlier this morning. Number got as high as 4.5. About 15 minutes after that number hit 4.5, news broke that Alex Smith had a lacerated spleen, was downgraded to expected to miss, and Chase Daniel, for the second straight year, gets to start the season finale against the San Diego Chargers. Number comes off the board, reopens at pick, and since it reopened at pick, you've seen some support for Kansas City. Also, the total, 42.5 down to 41, some 40s out there. How do we even begin to go about handicapping and reassessing Alex Smith's value, given how lethargic Kansas City's offenses look for extended stretches?
Yeah, this is a game that has a lot of elements. And initially, you know, I like KC a little bit. I think they're the better team. You're going to get some cold weather here. So San Diego, not too acclimated to that. San Diego has some injury issues. Obviously, Rivers is playing extremely banged up. So the move made some sense. You know, I think, you know, obviously it was real. You know, who knows what the intent was. The timing of the move and the announcement of the injury was a little peculiar. But with Chase Daniels, I don't really make it a, you know, it got as high as 4.5. Then we saw pick. Obviously, I don't think Smith to Daniels is worth 4.5 points. I really don't. It'll be interesting to see where this line goes, because this is one of the games that's most meaningful, and, you know, a lot of bettors will be running to play this game. It'll be interesting to see where this really goes. I do think, though, that even with Chase Daniels, you're talking about Alex Smith, a guy who has not thrown a touchdown pass to a wide receiver all season. Chase Daniels is a professional. He's been in the league a while. He's used to this system. More downfield passer, I believe. A lot of dink and dunk. They'll rely on the screen game that I think is their best weapon with Charles. So it's not a huge downgrade. I think the professionals will come in once again on Kansas City. They'll let this line, you know, right now you're looking at 7 out of every 10 bets coming in on the Chargers. I think the public sentiment will be in that direction. It'll be just a matter of time. But the professional, I believe, will come on Kansas City once again at this new number where you're looking at pick, and maybe they let it kind of go the other way a little bit and wait as long as humanly possible here and take Kansas City as a small dog if it gets to that number.
Yeah, an interesting situation starting to develop. I know both you and I sitting on Kansas City Chiefs win total tickets under 8.5. A heck of a lot easier opportunity to dump that particular position at pick than it was at 3.5, 4. So we'll have to try and assess as we get closer to kickoff how best to go about that and decide if you want to keep the position from early in the year, if you want to dump entirely and maybe come over the top on Kansas City.
Yeah, no question about that. I know a lot of the guys are going to have that debate this week as many professionals played that under 8.5, and it'll be interesting to see. Right now, you know, pretty easy to get off that game, and if you were able to grab San Diego plus 4.5, you got a lot of options at this point.
Yep, never a bad thing to have a slow-moving local when opportunity presents itself. Philadelphia and the Giants, a game that doesn't have a whole lot of relevance in any grand scheme, but you do see the Giants, a 2.5-point favorite. This number got as high as 3 before there was some money that came in on the Eagles on Friday morning. Total on this one, 51.5 out to 53. A couple interesting elements in play here. The Giants with revenge for a Sunday night game they were absolutely embarrassed. Giants arguably playing their best football of the entire season against, you know, subpar competition, despite the big win against the Rams. And Philadelphia may be limping to the finish. You have to question their motivation and exactly how they're going to treat this game against a divisional foe. But Mark Sanchez knows this: every time he takes a snap under center, it's an audition to try and win a starting job, either in Philadelphia to start next season or somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And the key here is, you know, in the NFL, everything that looks easy typically is not. You have a Giants team that's playing absolutely lights out right now. The offense, that new system, looks like Eli's starting to get acclimated to that. He's got his brand-new shiny toy and Odell Beckham Jr. that he's using a ton. Philadelphia, obviously, very disappointing season, how it's unfolded the last handful of weeks. For me, though, 3 is just a tough, tough number, and we saw earlier today that was a significant real position on the Eagles plus 3. The number, obviously, at this stage is a little ridiculous, but it's already got that built in that Philadelphia has nothing to play for, that the Giants are playing great football, that they have revenge. But when you look at these two teams and you're making the Giants minus 3, you know, pretty ridiculous. So for me, nothing on this. There was some early money on the Giants, but again, at plus 3, that was a real position today.
Yeah, and I think that Philadelphia actually undervalued in this particular spot. They still are professionals in a divisional game. I think they may play with a chip on their shoulder. I would have a strong lean towards Philly and actually agree quite a bit with this particular move. Dallas-Washington, Dallas a 5.5-point favorite. Of course, Washington beat them as a double-digit dog on a Monday night earlier this season. The Redskins showed quite a bit of fight in disposing of the Eagles and dashing their playoff hopes a week ago. I'm sure they'd love to finish with some momentum here. Dallas, their biggest thing, just getting into the postseason healthy. And you look at the Cowboys, a 5.5-point favorite, total of 49. One of the hardest games for me to handicap. I'm going to let you take this one away.
Yeah, everything that you've read out there is that Dallas is going to show up for this game. And you would think that would be the case based upon how they played last week. And I'm not talking about what they did on the field, but the choices they made. In a game that's 28-0, you still have DeMarco Murray out there pounding the rock. And it was, you know, he's beat up. I didn't understand why he was still out there. So you'd have to believe them in what they say. But at 6.5, there was professional money on Washington. Showed great signs of life last weekend against Philadelphia. And at 6.5, that is the professional side. I think this continues to trickle down. It'll be interesting to see where this closes. But if you can still grab a 6, I think you're probably on the right side in this game. So for me, Washington or pass.
Yeah, I would say that I can make a slight case for the Skins here, but for me, not going to get my dollars involved. And for a game that I can't imagine most of the general public will get involved in, New Orleans on the road at Tampa, 3.5-4 the number here, total on this one, 46.5. The biggest story here isn't New Orleans' late season collapse and the potential career demise of Drew Brees, but the fact Tampa in firm control of that number one overall draft pick if they happen to lay an egg against their divisional foe.
For whatever reason, Tampa's played pretty well against New Orleans over the years, and they did it earlier. They did it earlier this year, I believe, lost in overtime against New Orleans. The professionals are going to be on Tampa. I know the math guys in the number they presented to us was a little higher than what we're seeing here. They presented a 6.5 to me. Seems a little high. So for me, again, it'll be Tampa or nothing. I'll let this line climb a little bit. I would love to grab 4.5. There are 4s out there right now. For me, Tampa or nothing.
Could be a sad day if McCown's final snaps in Tampa come in this particular one. I have to imagine the Bucs will look at the youth movement to start next season, given how the year one in the Lovie Smith era has gone down there in Western Florida. St. Louis in Seattle. Seattle in firm control of their own playoff destiny, a chance to wrap up the number one overall seed in the NFC. A 12.5, 13-point favorite against the Rams. Total on this one, 41. Amazing how the Rams were the it team a few weeks ago. A loss on Thursday night to Arizona. They get blown out at home by the Giants. And all of a sudden, they're double-digit dogs with a very capable defense on the road in the Pacific Northwest. Do we hear a barking dog here? Does Seattle's defensive dominance continue as they have a chance to put a hurting on an NFC West opponent?
Yeah, I mean, this is just a ton of points. Obviously, St. Louis, as you alluded to, it was the trendy team. Sharp guys got bit with them on Thursday night a few weeks ago against Arizona. And again this past week. So it'll be interesting to see if they go to the well with them again. Open 13.5. You're now down to as low as 11.5 some places. The way Seattle's playing right now, offensively, this is just a ton of points. It really is. And we've talked about some of these games with teams in that must-win spot or needing the game a little more. Just so overvalued. It really is. And for St. Louis here, 13, if you can still get that, it is available. I think you have to take the dog here. I could not lay this many points right now.
Yeah, it's interesting when you look at the Seahawks and the fact that they laid 10 points to San Francisco, and I'll contend that St. Louis may show a little more fight than San Francisco. Seattle, it was a 10-point favorite or 9.5-point favorite on the closing line against Arizona and a backup quarterback, but despite that 35-6 final, that was a 14-6 football game going into the fourth quarter, and it was one big Marshawn Lynch run that kind of broke their back. So for me, I actually like St. Louis quite a bit here. Tough game to watch. You have to hope the defense creates some short fields. Don't have a ton of confidence in Sean Hill, but think the must-win scenario more than built into this number. St. Louis, a very live underdog.
Yeah,
San Francisco and
game 41. It's St. Louis is the right side here.
Well, I'll let you know that on Sunday afternoon if they're the right side. We've had plenty of those go awry this season, and as a lot of our podcast listeners wanted to inform us, they didn't feel quite the same way about Kansas City the other day on Sunday, despite making 6 trips inside the 30 and coming away with a grand total of 12 points. But nope, I'm not bitter in this business. San Francisco, 4.5-point favorite on the open, out to 6.5 against the Arizona Cardinals. This game, I don't know what the hell Bruce Arians is doing, announcing Ryan Lindley will start, switching to Logan Thomas. The market goes from 4-6. Lindley back in there under center, under the shadows of the Christmas holiday. Number actually out to 6.5 for Arizona. Total in this one, a very low 36.5. How do we even go about trying to figure out not only what we're going to get from Arizona, but how San Francisco will look to close the season, given their complete meltdown last Saturday against the Chargers?
It's another game that I'm probably not going to be touching. I look at this and don't see it. You couldn't really pay me right now to lay the 6.5 with San Francisco. I think, obviously, Arizona's defense shows up again. The only question mark is, are they beat up? Are they going to be worn out, that defense? They're on the field a lot, and you talked about it last week. Arizona's defense kept them in that Seattle game, but just a byproduct of being on the field over three quarters and wearing down, Seattle finally pulled away. So it'll be interesting to see how beat up that Arizona defense is if they tend to wear down. For me, I'd love to make a case to go over this. Bruce Arians has showed a passion, no matter who his quarterback is, to take some shots down the field. Hasn't always resulted in positive things with a guy like Ryan Lindley, but they've shown he likes to be aggressive. San Francisco showed some life offensively last week. For the first 30 minutes, they got back to football that we expected them to play all season with Kaepernick moving around, running, using Frank Gore. Suddenly they built that lead, and the offense, you know, didn't really continue that momentum in the second half. So I'd love to make a case for the over here. But I'm just not sure. This is a game for me that I'm going to need to evaluate a little more, get some better information, do a little more reading. But for me, this is another game that I'm not going to have a penny invested on unless I get some good tidbits of information here late.
Yeah, very tricky to try and handicap. I do wish that Ryan Lindley had some San Diego State eligibility. Would have helped out quite a bit in that bowl game earlier this week in the poinsettia bowl. But Denver and Oakland. Denver, a 14-point favorite in this one. Total 47.5. Tip your hat to Tony Sperano and the Raiders. We talked about it last week that they were in a great spot to not only cover against Buffalo, but potentially pull the upset. This team has shown a ton of fight. This might be a much taller task as they look to try and play spoiler for the Denver Broncos, who do need this game to wrap up the number two spot in the AFC playoffs. Can you make a case for Oakland, or can you make a case for laying the lumber here with the Denver Broncos and their seemingly one-dimensional offense right now?
Yeah, well, the key thing here was having the NFL flex the Cincinnati-Pittsburgh game to 8:30 p.m. I believe if Cincinnati lost that game, Denver was essentially playing for nothing here. Since that game is flexed, Denver is going to show up here. But 14 seems like a ton, especially the way Peyton Manning's playing right now. The guy's beat up. His arm is extremely fatigued. So, again, division game. This is probably Tony Sperano's last game as a head coach for them. The guys love him. We have seen them show up well at home for the last 3 weeks and then crap the bed on the road. And Denver has everything to play for here. But, again, that is all built into the number. LVH hanging 14.5 right now. To me, that would be the side, but I'm not running to bet it. But if you're in a pool, you definitely need to be looking towards Oakland here.
And some interesting trends when you talk about Oakland and Denver in this particular rivalry and the way they fared against division opponents. Oakland actually 20-6 against the number their last 26 road games versus the AFC West. Of course, they were boat raced by Kansas City as a double-digit dog a few weeks ago. And Denver's actually struggled at home, maybe overvalued, 7-19-1 against the number the last 27 home games against AFC West opponents. Much like you, I think Oakland, if you have to play the game for pool purposes, take the points. But a game, at least for me on the surface, that I don't really want to try and run to tango with. And Payne, that's the end of the regular season. I mean, do you breathe a collective sigh of relief that you made it through year one of the podcast? Although we do have some Ask the Bet the Board questions to wrap up the regular season with.
I don't think our listeners know how difficult it is dealing with you. So it's been a tough 17 weeks. And I'll get re-energized for the playoffs, and we should be good moving forward.
I like to think it's the gift that keeps on giving, Payne. So you can take all your cheap shots you want at a safe distance, nearly 2,500 miles across the country, but I'm not going to sit here and put up with your shit much longer. So we'll go from there. For those folks wondering who you've listened to ramble for the duration of this podcast, the man on the other end of the line, Payne Insider. Follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider or see his great work at PayneInsider.com. I'm Todd Furman. You can visit my website at toddstake.com. And as we do each and every Thursday or Friday, this week as the case may be, we'll close with Ask Bet the Board some questions that became available. And one to kind of set the tone for next week, Payne, when we break down the playoffs, comes from Spence Diamonds, a loyal listener. What do you do to get ready for the playoffs? You know, review team seasons, recent form, etc. And, of course, we won't have a chance to talk to folks on Monday, so this could give them a good precursor for what they should be doing next week to prepare for Friday's next installment.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, a couple of things you need to do is stop looking at efficiency metrics for the entire season. Start looking at what they've done the last 3 or 4 weeks, because that's really what those teams are in their current version. Obviously, you need to check on injury statuses, things like Peyton Manning and his arm and things of that nature. The other thing I would go back and really look at, because now they're going to be playing teams in the playoffs that are good, I would really kind of take each of those teams, look at their big wins, look at you know, their games where they actually played a decent opponent, break those games down, rewatch them if you've DVR'd them, and try to take what you've seen from games that have actually mattered against tough competition. Those would be my biggest piece of advice moving forward to the playoffs when trying to gauge these teams. Really, when they play meaningless games or teams that they're better than, I would just throw those completely out the window and try to focus on the toughest games for each of those teams that are in the playoffs and see how they fared in those games during the season. So that would be my biggest thing. And again, when you're looking at numbers, efficiency numbers, metrics of that, looking at full season data is just obsolete right now at this point.
Yeah, I think it's one of the things that we'll make sure we touch on as well as part of our playoff introduction next Friday. So it's always good to come in with a game plan, having handicapped the games ahead of time, use the information that we'll provide on the podcast, hopefully to steer you in a particular direction or two as we get closer in. And then I know we covered a lot of this stuff, but not so much in explicit terms, came in from Ed, goes by the Twitter handle, @RealEdR. Is there a unified theory for Week 17 betting, or is it all situational? Guessing he means handicapping each game one by one. But as we talked about, there is a domino effect and some very real ways that you can capitalize based on results for late games and games that are going on at the exact same time.
I think it's the same as every other week. Try to find some value, and hopefully it turns into a winner. But this week, obviously, you know, we've talked about it a little bit. I think you probably wait on some of these games that have the perceived, quote-unquote, must-win situation, let the market overreact, and you'll probably find some great value on some of these teams that don't necessarily are playing for anything. So that's where the reading comes in. If guys are playing for new contracts, like the coach they have and they're playing for their coach, sometimes you get a little value in that with the overvalued number. So that's the key there, finding some of those quote-unquote must-wins, letting those lines get as high as humanly possible, and finding value in that direction. Obviously, it's a little different strategy than most weeks. But again, you know, the key is the same. The goal is the same. Find value, find winners.
And one last question, more theory-based than anything else, than specifics to Week 17. Seven, who goes by the Twitter handle MVPD7, asked, do you ever look to parlay moneyline dogs, potential good risk-reward scenario? I know we talk all the time about teasers, but he wants to know about moneyline dogs, and I guess even, you know, favorite moneyline parlays, as we've seen through social media, becoming a trendy bet for some of the casual bettors out there.
Yeah, I mean, I won't lie, if we're running good or we really, really like some sides, or, you know, more based in Delaware Park with some slow-moving numbers, we'll dabble in parlays. Typically not what I like to do, though. I'm more of a straight bet guy. I like my underdogs, and, you know, we'll add to them, as we alluded to in last week's podcast, about playing them on the money line for a percentage of your spread bet. So for me, that's more of what I do, not a huge parlay player, unless it's at Delaware State Park with some stale numbers where we have a huge, huge advantage.
Payne, we saved the best for last. The longest podcast of the season comes in the Week 17 regular season, so anybody who accused you of checking out by Week 10, they can swallow those words as we put a bow on what's been a pretty productive first regular season for you and I doing this. I know it started out as a labor of love and something to kind of do for some fun, but some pretty good feedback, and I think the results have been pretty good throughout the course of the 17-week regular season.
Stamina, baby. No doubt about it. It's it's been a fun season, a good season, and as you alluded to, we talked about it. This was kind of just going to be for fun. We decided to do it a few days before the season started. Feedback has been outstanding, fantastic. Every week the viewership continues to increase, so we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, and as we said, I mean, if we help one better make a more informed choice each and every week, that becomes the goal of the podcast. So for Payne Insider, I'm Todd Furman. We'll, of course, be back with the Wild Card Weekend preview a week from today. But before then, make sure you have a happy and healthy New Year. Be smart. Find those designated drivers. Get to the window a few times between now and then. Line the pockets. And we'll hopefully help you put together a playoff run for the ages that allows you to put a wrap on what's been otherwise been a pretty profitable NFL season. And we'll see you at the window.